individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruse. If you want to call in today, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. Now, sorting getting, you know, since I'm back, getting everything rescheduled in the right way or the proper way, but we're still getting used to that. So my second Wednesday of the month person is on the third Wednesday of the month. Nick Nugent, how you doing?
I'm doing really well, Dave. Thanks.
You have me discombobulated because this was not me. This was you traveling.
Yes. Yeah, we went down to Spokane, Coeur d'Alene, and it was kind of hard because every day we were there was sunny and highs in the 70s.
You're being a jerk.
And I'm
you're
looking.
You're being
up.
A jerk. You know, everyone's going to call in and say, David, Nick's a jerk.
Yeah, I look out the window right now, and it's not quite that way, is it?
Well, you know, I have two choices. I can look out at the snow, or I can look at the purple paneled padding. You know, so I'm going to look at the purple padding here. Anyway, what's on your mind today?
Well, I found out I'm not quite as clever at, IT.
Whatever me and you are in this room, you're always the smartest person in the room, so I don't want to hear this stuff.
So IT.
I understand IT. That.
Phew. I found out that, in fact, everything that I thought I could access while I was outside for 3 weeks, I had put on the wrong drive. So I...
we're brothers in arms.
So instead of having a new presentation, I thought, well, today's a good time for us to look at what we've done, maybe see where we'd like to go.
Yeah, reflect where we've been.
And
look for the direction of the future.
Yeah, and I would invite anybody that's got a subject they'd like to hear to call us and see what I can work up.
You know, what I like between the way you and Joni are, she handles the past local Fairbanks events, things like that. And you are more of the state historian, the explorations, or, you know, the big things that on a statewide basis. And it's a great combination.
It is. We've kind of talked that over. I mean, we don't set a hard and fast, I'll do this, you do that.
You already got a phone call.
Oh, absolutely.
You ready?
I am.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Nick Nugent, and your name is?
It's Charles, Dave.
Charles, I hoped you would call. How you doing, sir? You've been a big fan of Mr. Nugent here since day one. How you been doing?
Just watching the snow here and getting excited for winter. I just want to tell you, it's the fourth Wednesday of the month, actually. This is one of those that has five.
Oh, You're too astute. In what are you, a stalker?
No, I'm waiting for my Social Security check, and it didn't come in.
Oh, okay. Uh oh. Government shutdown.
Wednesday. They probably threw me out. Yeah. I wondered one thing, a question about the Treaty of Accession of Alaska. That magic check that is supposedly representing $7 million and some.
$7,200,000.
It was written to Edward Stokel, who is supposed to be the minister to Russia for the United States. I can't figure out if that guy is a double agent or not.
You know, I have a copy of that check on my wall in my house, and I have
Why is it written to Stokel?
And I have a receipt from the gentleman from Russia on behalf of the Tsar. And it's just a, it's a neat document. And you sort of, you look at that and you say, okay, we're all celebrating 1867 when we bought this, but we didn't pay for it until 1868.
That's better than running the produce department.
So basically, it was a zero down deal with a large down, with a large payment at the end, a large balloon payment.
Well, how could it pass a title search of today's standards?
You know, that is beyond my comprehension, and I'm glad I don't have to do it.
If I remember, a lot of sometimes if you look at the way the sale was made, part of what was stated is that the United States bought the Russian America Company and all of its assets. I don't remember that it actually states anything about property in it.
Yeah. Now, Charles, since we have you on the line, what are some of the things that you would want to hear from us on, excuse me, hear from Nick on? What sort of areas?
What sort of areas? Oh, I don't know. How about the game laws of 1935?
You need that Social Security check,
yeah. Yeah. I need me some game.
Okay. Okay, buddy. You take care. You have a great morning. I'll talk to you later.
You know, as I, yeah, I do enjoy this. As I look at it, we started these back in 2019.
I know.
The first one.
6 years already.
Yeah, and Joni did a session on Halloween, some Halloween celebration in Fairbanks. And I believe mine was on the how the military was put in charge of the state till the Territorial Act.
You know, it's coming up on 10 years that I've been doing this.
Yeah.
A decade. Oh, my God.
Well.
6 years with you, and you've put up with me quite well. You've put up with the unique equipment that we have from North Korea, the purple padded room with gold sparkles.
Well, I realized the other day I've been standing around minding my own business, and my wife and I will be married 50 years in December.
You're lucky. You're very fortunate.
I don't know who the old people in the pictures with us are.
Oh, boy. Well, let's look at some. Here we go. Another phone call. Here we go. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Nick Nugent, and your name is?
Mel.
Hello, Mel.
Hi, Nick. I appreciate your whenever you're on.
Oh, thank you.
And I catch you less and less, but I happen to catch you today. So since this is kind of open, one area I've always liked a lot is, you know, I've been to Dawson, you know, numerous times. And a few years ago, some friends drove up to Tuktoyaktuk on the Arctic Ocean. And it was a great trip. And what do you know about that? You know, you're familiar with that part of Canada. What do you know about that, the history of that part of the area? And I'll hang up and listen.
I haven't, of course, Dawson, I think we all know. The oil movements up to Tuck, 1984 through 1987, I worked for a Canadian company that did sea ice monitoring in support of oil exploration. And I've actually been to Tuck quite a few. I spent a month there one afternoon. And
couldn't wait for that trip out.
But that would be a good one to look at because, of course, that was the Hudson's Bay Company up in there, and the whole administration of that part of Canada was somewhat different. So I'll put that on a list for a future program.
Have we done a show on the Russian America Trading Company?
We did a little bit on the Russian era. We haven't actually went into the nuts and bolts of the Russian American Company.
Maybe that'd be something.
It would. Get into some of those earlier what kept the economy going before gold.
Yeah.
I know we talked quite a bit about the fur trade when we did the episode on Bering and what was going on there. So, but, you know, Dave, you look at this. We've covered everything from the Russian era to the 1950s. We've talked sailing ships to nuclear power, the reactor down at Greeley. geographic coverage. We've gone Barrow to Ketchikan, Attu to the Klondike, all over the Arctic with some of our whalers. About the only area that I've covered rather lightly so far has been southwestern Alaska. So I'll get into Iditarod, Flat, and some of the early explorations up through the Kuskokwim.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
A night of music, adventure, and dinosaurs. Bring the whole family to Jurassic Park in concert with the Fairbanks Symphony Orchestra, November 1st and 2nd at the Carlson Center. Get tickets now at fairbankssymphony.org. There's a new voice echoing across Alaska's wild landscapes. Alaska Tracks, hosted by wildlife biologist and outdoorsman Randy Zarnke. This series dives deep into the stories of hunters, pilots, trappers, guides, and the land that shapes them. Based on an oral history project by the Alaska Trappers Association and presented by KFAR and brought to you by Rod Sawshop, Ginger Orem with Crown Real Estate, and Interior Welding Extreme North Trailers. Alaska Tracks, Saturdays at 1:30 on KFAR.
70 hours. That's the average time between each gun suicide in Alaska. That's less than 3 days. Help more Alaskans live longer by keeping your guns locked, unloaded, and away from ammunition. Storing guns safely is an important way to help prevent deaths of children, teens, or anyone in a difficult situation. If you or someone you know is in crisis, contact the 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline by calling or texting 988. This message is sponsored by the Alaska Division of Behavioral Health, aired by the Alaska Broadcasters Association, and this station.
Weather brought to you by CNR Pipe. Weather in Alaska can change fast, but you can always count on CNR Pipe, Alaska's largest metal supplier, proud to support the last frontier.
KFAR Weather.
Chance for snow, becoming mixed precipitation today. Otherwise, cloudy skies expected. High temperatures reach up to 34. Northeasterly winds, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Overcast skies again tonight. Slight chance for snow showers. Lows dip down to about 25. About an inch of snow today with another dusting tomorrow night. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Nick Nugent in the studio here with me. We're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. And we're asking for your thoughts and opinions on future shows we should have on history of Alaska, the region. And we have a phone call. You ready?
Yeah, I am.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Nick Nugent, and your name is?
Good morning, Mr. Pruse. My name's Mike, and good morning to Mr. Nugent. So first off, I'm going to suggest, Mr. Pruse, that on the days that Mr. Nugent is there, you use music from Ted Nugent.
God, I like how you think, but that's beyond my IT programming capabilities.
You've got help.
You know, I think a great cat scratch fever.
Exactly.
Or you know, great white buffalo. Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
So as far as topics for Mr. Nugent, he might have already said that you've covered it at some time, but I'd certainly be interested in another dive into the first non-native people to penetrate interior Alaska. And then I have a suggestion for you, Mr. Pruse. Now mm-hmm. that you're no longer a politician, right?
That is correct.
You have one day a month, the Jim Matherly, David Pruse show, where you criticize the current mayor.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Oh, man, I think you'd have a lot of happy people.
Well, what makes you think I need to bring someone else on to do that?
Well, because Matherly's not doing anything important right now anyway, and pretty soon he's going to be even less important when Dunleavy's gone. So, you know, you guys can get together and talk about important stuff. Anyway, I've said enough. You guys have a good day.
Mike, you have a great day, buddy. Appreciate the phone call.
Okay. Oh. You know, Dave, we've covered some pretty interesting characters over the years.
That was one of them.
There you go. And I think one of the ones that kind of sticks in mind was Frederick Funston. I found out about him sort of on accident.
Yeah.
A biologist sent up to see what the agricultural potential of the state was, and who, because he was kind of a hyperactive child sort of a guy, walked from Fort Yukon to Herschel Island and back just to see what the whalers were doing. And he did that in January of 1893. You know, we don't run into
You know, maybe, you know, Mike brought up something interesting, you know, the first non-indigenous. And maybe, you know, Captain Mayo in the interior, someone like that, or that history.
Yeah. McQuestion, I believe we did cover a little bit.
Yeah.
But certainly Captain Mayo would be a good subject. We could just about fill the studio with relatives to help us.
Yeah, you know, I went to school with Maureen, you know, and I always tell Carrie that, you know, there's no one here before your family. I mean, there is no one here before your family.
Yep, there are a lot of good people that would be very enjoyable.
Yeah,
so.
You know, whenever anyone says, well, I've been here for 50 years or this, that, just shake your head and say, guess what? My name is the first.
My next-door neighbor, Ted Tisdale's grandfather, we're going to talk about him sometime in the next 3 or 4 months. He was the assistant mortician in Juneau.
Oh, boy.
When the Princess Sophia went down.
He had a lot of work.
Yeah.
Ready for a phone call?
I am.
Good morning. You're on Cafe Hour Radio with Nick Nugent, and your name is?
Hey, it's me again. George Adams is the one, he said in his book, that he was the first one on the first white man on the lower Yukon. And he went up with the first Kennecott expedition to explore that. There's a John Dahl involved. There's a lot of important names in that Russian telegraph project. So,
okay.
Yeah, George Adams was called a liar. And he misled a bunch of people on the road to the trail to Nuuatu or something like that.
Okay.
And so even though he's been proved wrong, you should read his book, George Adams on the Lower Yukon. And
I'll do that.
Have some fun. Okay. Have some fun with it. It was produced in 1982. That's why it doesn't have the weight of history.
Okay.
It was written by other people from his notes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
We did talk a little bit about the Russian-American telegraph expedition, but that's a big subject. We could revisit that pretty easily. There's two or three subjects that we covered the earliest parts of, and we could easily revisit.
I got to share this with Fairbanks. It's on the personal side. I just got a text from Emily, and I brought her a care package to her office this morning, and in there were some Ben and Jerry's, and it had chocolate and caramel and peanut butter in it. And she texted me, and she said, best yogurt ever. Yeah, that's my type of yogurt. Fairbanks Foodies, listen to
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, Dave, it goes to show me, though, you're a wise man. You bring women chocolate in the morning.
So therefore, there's peace in the evening.
The day is set properly, isn't it?
You know, you're sucking up really well because she's listening to you right now.
Well, you know, we talked and covered most of the Army expeditions. I'll have to go back and find Lieutenant Heron, follow up on him a little.
You know, maybe what we could do is how they came about with Ladd Field, mm-hmm. how they put it together, and the different farms that they took.
Yeah, there is an interesting history there. And the, in fact, was, can't think of the name of it, slipped my mind, Busby's. That was a major floatplane landing spot. That was a nice, smooth stretch of the river.
Yeah.
Of course, that is, in fact, where Wiley Post and Will Rogers left Fairbanks from before they went out and topped the tanks at Harding Lake.
Yeah.
So a lot of interesting things there.
Yeah, I had Craig Compo on here, and I, I, He got it. I asked him what the original name of Harding Lake was, and he goes, Salt Jacket Lake. So that's very good. So since he's out there all the time.
Yeah, you know, that's an interesting we could almost do a whole program on the number of ways that Salt Jacket has been spelled in various.
Oh my God.
Phonetic.
How'd they decide on name Salt Jacket?
I believe it was an English corruption of a native name for the river. The Salcher River, I remember reading, was sometimes referred to as a river with suckers. That's one of the few places that you see a lot of them.
Okay.
And easily, and I believe that was it. My entomology could be off. I will search. That'd be a good one to look at. Just some
of
them.
Yeah, this, yes, or, yeah.
It might be fun to do one on place names of the internet.
What's in a name?
And I have Orth's USGS manual, which if you ever need something to really build muscles and you don't want to go to the gym, this book is incredibly extensive and heavy. Well, we talked about the Army, Kastner, Yanner, names that stick in our mind today.
Which Kastner, though?
Well, the last Kastner, the lieutenant.
Yeah.
I just did a...
The first one or the second, the last one?
The first one.
Okay.
I just did a presentation on Lieutenant Kastner over at the Alaska Mining Hall of Fame.
Ah.
And that's been kind of fun out of this show. This is growing into other presentations.
Yeah.
And I've even...
You're a man about town now.
Oh.
You're wanted for your historical knowledge and presentation.
I've done a couple of... I've taught a couple of classes at Olive on subjects we've done here.
Yeah.
But what I like to do here, I like to get people interested. I am certainly not a historical scholar. I am not a PhD in the subject. And as an engineer, I don't necessarily write in a way that's set on the edge of your chair exciting. You know, we tend to put down the facts and that's it. But I would hope people might hear something and go take a look. Go over to the library. Take a look at what all's in the subject. And find out there is a lot more than we can possibly bring in 1 hour with the commercial interludes taken out.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Goodness.
Well, so,
the USGS books are quite heavy. voluminous, we'll call it.
And... it was interesting, that time period. I'm trying to put together something to show how it worked when the Army chose at about 1898. They started taking USGS members on some of their expeditions. And then with the advent of the Spanish-American War, the Army pulled back and the USGS came in. And that was probably not the golden age of discovery expeditions, but certainly the golden age of describing what was there expeditions.
Yeah. Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. This is going to be some interesting bumper music for you. It's Aha, Take on Me, the one-hit wonders of the 80s. And it's going to be given to you in bumper music style. Please last through this. I do not choose these things. And I wonder what sort of unique drug that they take before they choose these unique songs on bumper music. But after that, we have Fox News, state news, commercials, weather, and we will be back.
Is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
President Trump hosting NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte at the White House today. Rutte also speaking on Capitol Hill, says peace between Russia and Ukraine can happen.
He is the only one who can get this done. He is the leader of the most powerful nation on Earth. You are all citizens of the most powerful nation on Earth, the most powerful economy, the most powerful military.
A planned summit between President Trump and Russia's Vladimir Putin, though, has been canceled. Democrats and Republicans at odds still if the government shutdown enters its 22nd day. House Minority Whip Catherine Clark claims Republicans are ignoring the needs of Americans who rely on their government for assistance.
Americans working a second job to keep their kids fed. Americans who have chosen to serve their country. Those are the people that Republicans expect to get by with less.
Republicans are saying Democrats are exploiting this shutdown to push projects for health care for illegal migrants. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Radio Kenai reports a bipartisan bill to extend federal support for training and mentoring early career commercial fishermen cleared a key hurdle in Congress this week. The Senate Commerce, Science, and Transportation Committee advanced the Young Fishermen's Development Extension Act, which would renew a five-year grant program that funds workforce development and safety training for new entrants into the fishing industry. The measure reauthorizes the Young Fishermen's Development Act, first passed in 2020 and signed into law by then-President Donald Trump. The program helps fishermen develop skills in marine safety, business management, and fishery science, areas seen as critical to keeping the nation's working waterfronts viable. Advocates say the program has helped bridge generational gaps in an industry facing rising costs, regulatory complexity, and what's often called the graying of the fleet. Fishing organizations from Alaska to Massachusetts have praised the committee's action. If approved by the full Senate and House, the reauthorization would continue funding for the program through 2030.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Expecting a little snow this winter? Then you need a Honda snowblower from the Woodway. Fingertip steering controls, electric joystick shoot control, one lever speed and direction control, super bright LED headlight. All this and backed by Honda's legendary reliability and a 3-year warranty. Wait, make that 6 years. If you buy in October, for the best selection, come in today and pick out your Honda before the first big snow. Ask about financing options. Be prepared the Alaskan way, the right way, the Woodway.
Hi, it's Chuck Indereed, and your host for Shooter's Corner, the show dedicated to firearms conversation and education and the shooting sports. You'll be on target for fascinating guests, expert tips, gear reviews, plus thrilling stories. Get the lowdown on local 2A events and more. You won't want to miss a single episode. Join me, Chuck Indereed, every Thursday morning at 11 for Shooter's Corner, where precision meets passion. Sponsored in part by Auto Trim Design. Listen right here on KFAR 660 AM.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back in the studio here with Mr. Nugent. How you doing, sir?
Very well, thanks. We've got a pretty good list here, Dave, and you were mentioning the one of your favorites was Lieutenant Allen?
Yes, and, you know, this seeing that photo of him and his two compadres, you know, and I think it was where Nenana is now, getting ready to get on a boat.
Right.
And just the way they looked, and, you know, skin, bones, beard, long hair. And this is a lieutenant in the Army.
He definitely wasn't where he could go to the central issue facility and re-outfit.
Yeah.
Allen also brings us one of the more, I think, colorful characters in some ways. John Bremner. Bremner might have been the most hard luck prospector that we have a good record on. If you'll remember, when Bremner first enters the story, Allen described him as the most wretched example of a human being I had ever seen.
I know.
John had been out starving with scurvy all winter, ends up following along with Allen, made it all the way up to Tanana and up to he didn't go to the Koyukuk with Allen, which Allen did, but he stayed in the Tanana area, went off prospecting a number of places. He was eventually murdered at one of his campsites by some natives that wanted to steal his equipment. And that was that is actually covered pretty well in the book Sourdough Sagas. But Bremner, I was finding all this out, and a friend of ours came over, and his father was with him, came over for a Wednesday night meeting, and his dad says, "I understand you know Alaska history." I said, "Well, yeah, it's something that I really enjoy." He goes, "Have you heard of a guy named John Bremner?"
Oh, yeah.
I go, would that be the most wretched maze? That's the guy.
Oh, and my goodness.
So anyway, I was able to get him a number of books to read and different things. He was a relative of Bremner.
You know, there is the book Sourdough Sagas. I read that when I was about 11 years old. Mm-hmm. And that's what really hooked me on just Alaska history, or I wouldn't say history, but just the eras and the descriptions and what they did and how they did it. And, you know, Dermot Cole, he's written a few good books that I've enjoyed too. And just it's Alaska doesn't have a long history per se, but it has a rich history.
It certainly does. And I think when we look at all the national figures from westward expansion, we have equally interesting people here that maybe have faded a bit more for whatever reason. But certainly, and some of those famous people that were helping win the West, J.J. Healy, the whiskey trader in Montana, ended up here. And if you remember, we talked about him.
He had Healy, you know.
John Jerome, and he had the famous place in the plains of Canada before the Mounties arrived, Fort Whoopadup. Now, there's a character. Wyatt Earp was in Nome. Rampart, then Nome, actually. So looking forward, I'm thinking maybe John Muir might be a subject. I don't believe we've covered him much. Yeah, he spent a good bit of time in Glacier Bay.
And Denali.
And Denali, yes. Yeah. So there would be some interest there. Harry Carstens, the history kind of, in more than one episode, we'll spread them out a little bit, look at how the park developed. And the history of the Kantishna area, which, of course, Harry was involved in both of. And I think we could make some pretty interesting programming there.
So basically, after 6 years, we have a lot more work to do.
I think we do. we're lucky.
Here's the next six, man.
There were all of those interesting people. Think of the people we've covered in aviation.
I know.
We probably could have taken a whole month just to cover the wings, but now that Richard's book's out, I'd be afraid to try.
You know, it was funny. The first time you did the first half of the wing, you know, I get a call from Richard. That's not exactly right. Oh, God, sorry, man. Oh, my God. Didn't mean to get you mad, sir.
Yeah, and, you know, the problem is a lot of times if I can't happen to find a firsthand source, and you go by what people write, you find out that writers write what they like.
Yeah.
They're, you know, it takes an awfully good writer to have something that's just black and white. And I think the more famous and the more likable a person was, such as Noel Wien, people would be very unwilling to write anything harsh, I believe, about Wien. Not that there was anything. I'm not suggesting that. But that would be the kind of thing you'd feel like, well, I can't vilify him. Look at all he's done for town. And I think we see that a little bit with some characters.
True. True.
I think my favorite was also Allen. But and then Bremner, of course, is part of that, the takeoff from that. The subject that I've really got a lot of personal interest on, I keep finding more references, is who came before Felix Pedro. And I'm up to 76 names and over 100 people, because sometimes they'll have the name of, like, you know, John, Dave, and two others.
Yeah.
And if a party just says a party of 10, I don't count those because, okay, it could be 3 to 20.
Yeah.
If there's no names involved. But nonetheless, there were a lot of people up the Chena, up and down the Tanana, and, you know, we've got the typical...
A circle, the Yukon?
Yes.
Yeah, coming over?
Over into Birch Creek, and then down, even down into the Salcha, there were a number of people.
Hajdukovic.
Yeah. The book that...
Milo Hajdukovic. Yeah.
The book that Randy Zarnicky helped get published, An Alaskan Adventure.
Yeah.
There's pretty interesting where all they went. And that group would have went further, except I believe that was the group, started to come down into the Upper Salt country and were driven out by a wildfire.
Mm-hmm.
They had to retreat back over to the Chena. So, just an amazing number of people. I think...
Hardy people.
Very much. And multi-talented people.
Yeah.
You look at a lot of the people here, and well, my neighbor's grandfather's an example. In his time in Alaska, he carried freight over the Chilkoot Pass. He ran a dog team mail route from St. Mary's to Knik. He was the mortician in Juneau. He was also the postmaster in Juneau. And one of the presentations I'll do is on letters that I have copies of from him to Pan-Alaska, Pan-American Airways, getting that first mail flight in the 30s going. And
wow.
So just things you don't... And I find it funny as we talk to people, we're still a small enough population. You get talking about a big event to someone and go, yeah, well, that was my grandfather.
You know, and that's the thing about it. You have to be careful what you say
you
when
do.
You're in public, because you don't know if it's someone's best friend, someone's kid, someone's uncle, someone's relative, you know, someone's past relative. You know, everyone is connected.
Well, I have most Wednesdays, or a lot of Wednesdays, I have lunch with a group, and Jim Plaquet is part of that group. And, of course, Jim's wife is Bobby Sheldon's granddaughter. And just... It is really nice to be able to go talk to somebody that has that. Oh, yeah. Or Libby Dalton Slane's a good example.
Yeah, good
and
friend of
her
mine.
Brother George. You know, if want to know anything about the famous Daltons, just go ask. They've got the information there. Fortunately, their mother was a very good writer, and I think kept that family history alive.
Yeah. I remember the first time I met Mike. She was something else, And I went to this my first Republican luncheon, and it was at the Traveler's Inn before it was the Westmark, or that's where they had it. Maybe it was the Westmark at the time. And I walked in there with a gentleman I grew up with, Andrew Lundquist, and he was on the staff of Senator Stevens at the time. And so I walked in there with him, and she looks at me like, who is this person? Is this a spy? And she goes, what's your name? I go, I'm David Pruse. And she looks at me and she goes, aren't you a Democrat? And I go, no, I'm a Republican. And Andy goes, and we're glad to have him as one. the great thing about her, she was so special in so many ways, but she could tell you exactly what she was thinking.
Oh, yeah.
And you knew where she stood on everything.
The first time I met Mike at a Pioneers meeting, I came up and sat down at the table, and they had typical banquet tables.
Yeah.
But it turned out one was 3/4 of an inch higher than the other, and it had a tablecloth over it. And I happened to set my coffee right on the seam, and, of course, it tumbled over. Fortunately, it didn't go on Mike's lap, but it was all over the table. And she just looked at me and smiled and said, well, you're not very clever, but you're pleasant.
The very, very, very first fundraiser I ever had, she was a co-sponsor. Her name was on the invite for people. Yeah. And that was an honor for me.
Absolutely.
That was an honor. My first one, and there she was. Let's do it, David. So.
Yeah, and you can be sure that she looked over what you stood for before
show on Mike Dalton and get George and Libby in here.
Well, I have got Libby to promise me that she would come in if we'll set a date.
Let's do it. Yeah, that'd be a great show.
Oh, we better maybe have two slots ready.
A Tuesday and a Wednesday.
Something like that. It could be. Well, you know, one of the things that I'm going to do, I'm putting it together. It's going kind of slowly. It's a little dry at first, but we can edit it to make it interesting. Alaska during the Progressive Age. You know, most people, the word progressive makes most people flinch these days.
Yeah, it's not what it used to be.
No. But say the Teddy Roosevelt type of, I have a very good book that was written, and it's takes a different look at Alaska during the Progressive Age, and using examples like the Alaska Railroad, they show what Alaska got from the federal government. And it takes a balanced look at the give and take. I think most of us, if we think of the last 40 years of history, look at that as a pretty one-way road.
Yeah.
But all of the territorial functions, the Alaska Road Commission, the airports getting built, the railroad, and I think it would just be fun to look at some of those and let people see. This was a time when government realized that building infrastructure was good for everyone.
Yeah. Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. I have Nick Nugent in the studio with me and want you to call in and tell us maybe in the future what you'd like us to, or excuse me, what you'd like Nick to explain to all of us about. Back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
As the snow creeps down the mountains and crunches under your boots, Alaska Gear Company only has one question. Are you ready? Introducing the Bunny Boot VBX Lite for those who move fast and travel light. And the Bunny Boot VBX Max, built for the extreme. Gear up right, gear up local. Stop on by Alaska Gear Company, and we'll get you ready for anywhere in any weather.
730 Old Steese Highway in Fairbanks.
Nowadays, nothing is more important than saving money. And the best way to do that is with the radio station's 50-50 Friday offer. Every week, a different special from a different local business, offering gift certificates at half price. All from your favorite restaurants, shops, and events. So what's this week's 50-50 Friday offer?
It's tea season, and it's time for you to embrace the winter weather with Sipping Streams Tea Company. Whether you're shopping for gifts for the tea lover, or you crave the warmth and comfort of a great cup of tea, or if you're just a true tea connoisseur, for this week's 50-50 Friday, you'll get a $100 gift certificate to Sipping Streams for half price. It's a tea lover's paradise with a great menu. Book a Victorian tea party with your friends. Don't miss this deal for 50-50 Friday.
Just log on to this station's website and click on that red 50-50 tag in the upper right-hand corner. Have your credit card ready and get ready to save big. 50-50 Friday, every Friday at 9 a.m. from the radio station.
KFAR Weather.
Chance for snow becoming mixed precipitation today. Otherwise, cloudy skies expected. Highs level off around 34. Northeasterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Slight chance of snow showers tonight, 25. About an inch of snow today with another dusting tomorrow night. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Nick Nugent in the studio here with me, and it's the interesting things that you don't hear that we talk about in the commercial break. Now, Nick, let's just go back 48 seconds and tell me about one of your favorite wines.
Well, I think one of my favorite wine vineyards is Trefethen. Mm-hmm. They're in Napa, and they make some excellent
Cabernet Franc.
Cabernet Franc, Cabernet Sauvignon. They make one that's just called Double T, and it's a blend. It is excellent. I'm not a big white wine drinker, but there are none of theirs that I would say, ooh, I don't like this. But they're, the way I can explain Trefethen, some of their, like their Cabernet Sauvignons, their reserves, it's sort of like going and listening to Mendelssohn or Wagner. You know, they're pretty full blast. They're the guys that put the extra members in the orchestra.
True, true. You know, I guess I'm of a different ilk when it comes to wine because my favorite wine is the wine in front of me.
There you go.
Be it white, red, pink, don't matter.
A few years ago, back in 2014, my wife and a few of her friends took a hiking tour through southern France and Italy. And the way it worked was you hiked from little place to little place, and they took all your luggage to your next stop. And they went to cooking schools and research.
Yeah, you know, I want to Fairbanks, what started this conversation is he asked if I had any travel plans over the winter, and Emily and I were going to do something, and we really enjoyed last year going to Central Coast, California, where I went to school, and wine tasting, and maybe throw in do it again this year, but also throw in see if I can find a cooking class someplace down there, something like that in Napa, Sonoma, sure. San Luis Obispo, Santa Barbara. You know,
the hardest thing will probably be deciding which one.
You know, or I could go to Texas and do a barbecue class.
There you can, but with barbecue, you have to get up around 10 at night and cook till noon the next day.
That's why you have beer.
It is.
That's why you have beer.
They are very civilized people in spite of what anyone says.
I know.
I want to just mention one more person. I'm going to give it a little bit of a teaser here.
Okay.
I'm working on Klondike Joe Boyle. Getting the references together.
You've been talking about him.
Joe ran away to sea at age 14, ended up in the Klondike 1897, worked on Claim 13 because it was unlucky, no one wanted it. He recognized the need for concessions to mine large scale. He battled with ANC Treadgold and the Guggenheims for control of the Klondike, which switched between the two of them, Treadgold and Boyle, at various times, as whichever political party was in, the other person had the concession at the time.
Yeah.
Boyle had a personality. He was described by one of his fellow Dawsonites as, he goes, Boyle is one of my best friends. I enjoy him totally, although he has sued me 7 times. So you couldn't dislike him, apparently.
Oh, my God.
he got the Yukon Consolidated Gold founded. World War I broke out. Very patriotic man. He took all of his personal money and outfitted a motor machine gun company for the Canadian Army to go to France. So he bought all their motorcycles, machine guns, and uniforms. And then he had a uniform himself, which had Klondike gold instead of brass for all of the buttons and so forth. He diminished his interest in the Klondike at this time, went to Europe. He worked his way into control of the Russian rail system because they were in such disorder with the Bolshevik Revolution starting. He was never actually appointed an official officer in the Canadian Army, but he was such a good talker, no one knew. Once he was there, he met a British officer. The two of them set up a spy network to watch the Bolsheviks with 458 agents. He was given 3 medals by the Russians, 1 by the Bolsheviks, and 3 by the Romanians. He got involved in Romania, and he received a medal as being the savior of Romania for efforts he undertook on their behalf toward the end of the First World War. And while he was there, he apparently had a long-running affair with Queen Maria, who was a granddaughter of Queen Victoria. So I think it's going to take a while to put that together in a good, presentable fashion. But I think everybody will absolutely enjoy it. You could not make a movie that people would think was based on fact about Joe Boyle. I'm surprised. Maybe in the United States, I'm not so surprised, but I'm surprised he's not more of a household name in Canada.
Well, he didn't start hockey, so what the heck?
He actually, that's one of the things I didn't put down here. He sponsored a team in Dawson which competed for the Stanley Cup.
Wow.
So they...
He should be a national treasure then in Canada.
A serious fog caused them to miss their boat. They got there late, and they ended up in second place, even though they weren't able to do a single practice or have time together on the ice once they left the Yukon.
Wow. Okay. Well, poor guy.
Yeah. And he did not live extraordinarily long. But what he packed into his life would have taken 3 or 4 normal people to do.
You know, another person that you might want to do is the Stroker family.
That's true.
That'd be a good one.
Yeah. They certainly were a large part of Fairbanks over the years.
Everyone remembers Bill, but I remember growing up, and there was Eddie, his brother. Mm-hmm. And Eddie, the dad was Eddie, too.
Okay.
And First National Bank of Fairbanks. And Bill is a very fine guy, but Eddie had the personality. He was the big banker. You know, you went to Eddie for the loan.
Okay.
And Bill was the administrator of the bank. You know, Bill kept everyone between the lanes, and Eddie was just an incredible personality and knew everyone. And he would make you the handshake loan because he knew who would pay and who wouldn't. And it just drove his brother crazy. So then after his brother Eddie died in 76, 77, that's when Bill sold the bank to KeyBank and okay. stayed on. So
it is a uniqueness that we have had people like that in Fairbanks yeah. and businesses
yeah.
that just can size you up and they know what to do.
Yeah, it's something else. And you know, and Bill was a very special person to the family. So was Eddie, and just great people. In fact, this one day, you know, I was about 9, 10 years old, and you know, came home with a black lab, you know, that out wandering around. And me, I got to have the dog. My dad looks at the dog, and he gives Eddie Stroker a call. He goes, "I think my son found your dog." You know, and he lived downtown, you know, in Weeks Field.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, the dog had been gone for about 2-3 weeks, you know, and over comes Eddie, and thanks, David. You know, found my dog. You found his duck dog. It was a black lab.
Yeah.
You know, so
this
so
that's an important thing to have about this
dog.
Oh,
yeah. Both him and his brother had separate places out of Healy Lake. And Bill, he got, I think he is on the Richardson Clearwater or somewhere in that area. He got an acre of property that was Civil War script transfer of land. If you were a person, if you served in the Civil War, they gave you an acre of land.
Okay.
And some of it, you know, someone came up here and claimed it up here. You know, that's, you know, homesteaded up here, did whatever. And Bill was able to acquire it, you know, versus, you know, interesting.
I read the abstract on my parents' house, and that land grant had went to a veteran of the War of 1812.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, exactly.
We don't realize how many of those big land grants in the Midwest, especially, and then farther west, mm-hmm. were very important at different times.
You know, I was in this fraternity, and we had the chain of title on the wall. And the chain of title started in California with the King of Spain.
That's a pretty good start.
Yeah. Then the governor of California, then the president of Mexico, you know, and then governor of California. Oh, well. We got about a minute left, sir. What are you thinking?
I think we have a lot to look forward to. Fortunately, we're not going to run out of interesting people and subjects for a while yet.
No.
And I don't think people are getting tired of us, so that's a good thing.
Yeah, you know, when we were on the radio here for about 3 minutes, we're getting the first phone call.
Yeah.
That tells you something.
It does. And I'd just like to, before we go off, just thank you for letting Joni and I have the spots to Fairbanks and Alaska history forward. It's been fun.
So what I do now on the third Wednesday of every month, I bring in Craig Compo and we do Fairbanks trivia.
Okay.
All right, well, he gives me Dallas Cowboy trivia, but what the heck. Thank you, sir. Greatly appreciate it. Fairbanks, you have a great afternoon, and I will see you on Friday.